Well, listen, we're glad to be here today and happy to take questions. I know the Senator and I just really want to spotlight Alaska Ship and Dry Dock. We can talk all about the capabilities of the vessels that are made here and that are worked on here, but the collaboration led by Randy Johnson here of Alaska Ship and Dry Dock and all the great folks here in Ketchikan is what we really want to spotlight. Senator, do you want to just say a few words before we open it up and introduce?
Well, I think it does need to be appreciated how really historic this is. To have a vessel truly first of its kind, not only built in Alaska, but built here in Ketchikan at the Ship and Dry Dock is pretty phenomenal. And then to be celebrating not only the christening of this Sitna, but to know that we're going to be laying the keel for an Alaska-made ferry to move us back and forth across to the airport there is yet another indicator of the successes, the phenomenal successes of this dry dock. And Randy, you and your people are to be commended for what you have done. But I think the cooperation, the collaboration between the local, the state, the federal, working with the Office of Naval Research to build this first of its kind vessel is really quite remarkable. I'd like to also recognize Mayor Kohlberg here for his role. This is a pretty sweet arrangement between Southeast and our friends up in South Central to be really using the skills and technologies that have been developed down here to provide for a much-needed piece of infrastructure up north is really, really something to celebrate. So happy to be here.
Admiral, introduce yourself.
Thank you, Governor and Senator. To echo the Senator's comments, I think the ship itself is kind of it represents the people who put it together. It's different technologies that were brought together by different groups of people, led by a very capable quarterback, Randy. The Navy's very interested in these technologies. There's never been a ship like this that can transform from a small water plane area twin hull swath configuration to a displacement configuration. So we're really interested in how it does its job as a ferry, but also how it might potentially do as a connector to get supplies and troops and people from the ship to the shore. It's a perfect laboratory for learning about this ship. The harsh weather environment up in Cook Inlet with the tide range, the ice, the currents and the winds will help us learn a lot about how we might design these features into future ships. Thank you.
Randy.
Thank you. Yes. Well, welcome Senator Murkowski and Governor Parnell, Admiral Carr. I really, myself and the entire shipyard organization is very honored to have all of your presence here. I know that your schedules are all very busy with everything else that you're doing, and to make time to get in to be with us today means a lot to myself, but more importantly to all the workers at the shipyard. They really have a lot to be proud of. And they deserve the recognition, and your presence here obviously illustrates that. This is a monumental achievement for Alaska Ship and Dry Dock. Really, for any shipyard in the nation, would be very, very honored and very proud to be able to build a ship of this type, where it's a first-of-a-kind technology, a very advanced hull form, and with new prototype systems throughout the ship that are being built into the ship for further research and development, science and technology demonstration, and to be chosen to be the shipyard to take on a project like that is very remarkable. And we're a small shipyard by shipyard standards, and that even makes it a greater opportunity for us to be able to advance the shipyard's capabilities through a project like this. Has taken us on a curve, accelerated curve to shipyard development, training of our workforce, our whole management structure. It's accelerated that probably tenfold of what might have happened if not for a project of this type. And I just would like to thank Admiral Carr and the entire ONR organization. They've been a great customer and been there to solve problems all along the way. And when you're developing prototype technology, there's always a lot of those challenges and issues that you've got to resolve as you go forward. It's just been a real team effort. We're happy to be where we are today. Hard to believe it's been 5 years since we first started getting involved in this program.
Let's open it up. We've got some great folks here with a lot of work and time into this, including the mayor.
I'll just start. This is going to be serving the MATSU Borough, but it's also Naval Research is interested in this. Is there some sort of research that will be going on or studies going on as the ferry is being used?
We'll be watching the technologies that are in the ship, particularly that ability I described to, the ice capability for one, and the ability to transition from a twin hull small water plane area to a displacement configuration by raising and lowering the barge. And you're going to see that demonstrated later today. But when you have two small hulls, that gives you a very stable configuration in high seas. And not going up and down is important to us. And when you push the barge all the way down, you lower the draft, and the ship is capable of going into shallower water and potentially beaching. So that's of interest to us. We've got some instrumentation in the ship. We'll be collecting data for about 5 years. But the Navy doesn't own the ship. It belongs to the borough. So it's really a wonderful arrangement where it was built in collaboration. It's going to be operated by the borough. It's going to help the people of Alaska, and the Navy will learn some from it.
I think it's also important to recognize that, well, the borough will be directing, if you will, the interest in this vessel by so many others, the community of Tyonek, is looking at this. They've got some real serious issues in terms of how they're able to move cargo back and forth. They're looking at the Susitna as an incredible win for them as a community in reducing their transportation costs. I was informed that in the wake of the Deepwater Horizon tragedy down in the Gulf, that, again, this vessel and what it has to offer could be something that could be very helpful in response missions as we're seeing now. So, again, it is something that the Navy will gain benefit from, the borough gains benefit from, but I think it's fair to say that there are many that are looking with great interest to this prototype that's been developed.
Now, the with respect to the Deepwater Horizon, I know that the borough isn't taking possession of it yet, that it's going to be here for a while in Ketchikan. Is there any plans, are there any plans to send the ship down to the Gulf to help with the oil cleanup?
Here.
Not that I'm aware of, but my expectation is that that problem will be taken care of before the ship is actually able to get to a place.
Okay. And forgive me on terminology, but test runs would have to happen. When is that planned, and what you'll learn obviously more from that?
We're currently planning for sea trials in early August and early to mid-August. So the ship should be through that evolution by no later than the end of August. And at that point, we'll be finalizing the certifications that are required for the borough to take the ship into operations. At this point in time, I know there's uncertainty on whether there's other application in the Gulf, but I know there have been discussions back and forth between the borough and folks down in the Gulf. That could cause us to accelerate if something comes up, but until we know that, we're on a schedule to complete the ship late in August, early September.
Who are the parties in that kind of discussion, whether it go to the Gulf?
No, I really can't speak to that myself. I haven't been directly involved, but I know that there have been Lou Madden, the representative of MATSU Borough, and I believe John Duffy, but I'm not sure, have been in discussions, mainly just to investigate whether there's really a need that this ship could help fulfill, and again, is the time frame something that can work? So it's preliminary, I would say, at this point, from my understanding. But the ship has some capabilities that that no other ship has that could be very supportive if it could get there in time to support their needs. And I don't think anyone knows right now what that time frame is. So we'll see what develops.
I have a question. Whether the ship goes down south to the Gulf or not, but the multiple applications that this ship may have for multiple uses, whether it be in Alaska or down south, how do you feel like that translates into a better awareness of the capabilities of Alaskans as it pertains to shipbuilding?
Is that a question for me?
Mm-hmm. For everyone. Please chime in.
Okay. Well, I think the most important aspect of this whole program is for the ship to get out and operate in the varying conditions that it was designed to operate in. And, of course, that's intended as soon as possible to operate as a ferry in Kinnick Arm. I know there are discussions with other potential users for other uses until that would keep the ship in service active until the terminals are ready up in Kinnick Arm. But the sooner that happens, the sooner that we're all going to get a better feel for how this ship performs. It is a totally new hull form. There's never been a twin hull ice-breaking vessel in the world. And so we've learned a lot through the design process, but the ultimate test is when the ship goes into service. There's been extensive model testing and a lot of due diligence to bring us to this point. But now we've got a real model that's going to go out and operate and really prove whether the science is correct. And we all think that it will be.
And also, this vessel, this effort by Alaska Ship and Dry Dock will demonstrate that an Alaska-led company, Alaska workers, can build a quality product, utilize innovative practices, and do it in great collaboration across several agencies. So that's a win-win for everybody. It builds.
Very much so.
It's a positive win for Alaska Ship and Dry Dock. It builds the reputation for Alaska Shipbuilding.
What is the status of the potential docks up in the Mat-Su?
Okay, we have the dock on the Point McKenzie side is done, and it can handle the ship. And we're working with the City of Anchorage. Mayor Sullivan has stated a couple times that he's going to make something happen so that we will have that in place. By the time the ferry comes, we should be ready to do that. The City of Tyonic, or the community of Tyonic, has got a delegation, I believe, here today because they are, Senator Murkowski said, very excited about this. The governor had in his budget a huge item for the Matanuska Borough and our port, which is a $35 million rail extension project beginning to connect our port to the railroad. And that will make things happen in its own right. That will make it all the more important to have that connection for people to go back and forth to develop our port from Anchorage to our side. And so lots of things are happening related to our port, and this is an instrumental part of that whole long-range plan. And we really have to give a lot of credit to our manager who's leaving, Mr. John Duffy, because for 10 years he's been there, he has really laid the groundwork for this to slowly and incrementally work towards this. And several things are now coming together at this point, and it's a nice way for him to end his career. So we're very excited about it. And we're very pleased with Senator Murkowski's work, Senator Stevens' work, Governor Parnell's work, and it's a nice collection of different parts of Alaska coming together for a big project.
Now, folks, I hate
Scott,
to interrupt
one,
us, but we have a
ceremony.
If it's a quick one, because we do need to get ourselves ready to go down to the ceremony. We'll have people waiting.
Just quickly, Professor Admiral Carl, unique, seems like one of the potentially unique things about this is the multi-agency collaboration. Is that something you see truly often in your line of work, or is this something that's really unique in that respect as well?
What a great question. Yes, we see more and more of that as we... we want to leverage small business. We want to leverage an open business model and help spur competition. It maximizes our options. And as we've seen with Alaska Ship and Dry Dock, small business can produce great results. and very, very high quality. And if I could quickly touch on your previous question, one of the technologies that I didn't mention is the ice capability, and the Navy's really interested in what's going on in the Arctic and global warming. We're following that very closely, or climate change, and preparing for what may be a different Arctic. We've had a presence there of one kind of another or another for many years, but there may come a day when we need to operate in an ice-like environment, and so the things we'll learn about the ice hardening capability will help inform potentially future ship designs. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we'll have a big group waiting down there, so...
I'll just start quick. Senator, yesterday, Senate rejected your EPA disapproval resolution. What's your reaction?
Not without a heck of a fight, though. we came close in the resolution of disapproval. We gained the support of 6 Democrats and all of the support of the Republicans in the Senate. Overall, a very strong statement that EPA should not be the one that sets climate policy for this nation, but that it should, in fact, be left to the Congress. The issue is certainly not resolved, certainly not dead for this congressional year. There's a great deal of speculation as to whether energy legislation would advance during the period after the 4th of July. There is, of course, a need, a very immediate need, to address some of what we're seeing as a consequence of the Deepwater Horizon tragedy. We need to focus on the liability issue. I've got legislation already that deals with an expedited claims process. These are things that must be resolved. We're actually introducing legislation on Tuesday that is a pretty comprehensive package that focuses on the Gulf issue right now and some of the liability issues that that are attached to that. So you'll be seeing some more discussion about that. But whether or not, again, we move to an overall climate bill this summer is still very questionable. But we certainly advanced the debate yesterday.
Okay, and I guess this question would go to both of you with regards to the situation in the Gulf. How does that affect, or does it, your support of offshore drilling? What are your thoughts of how that will affect Alaska?
Well, I'll just speak, I mean, for the state of Alaska, it clearly affects our ability because the federal government, the Department of Interior, the Corps of Engineers has stopped us moving westward into the NPRA when they stopped ConocoPhillips from moving that direction. They've now suspended offshore exploration at this point, and now we're also closed off at Anwar. So the state of Alaska is incredibly affected by these closures. Our jobs and economy are at stake. I think we can still do offshore drilling. We can do it right. We can do it responsibly. But we also need to learn from what's taken place in the Gulf. And we've been through this before as Alaskans in 1989 with the Exxon Valdez, different circumstances. But we need to protect our environment. We also need to provide jobs for Alaskans, and that's what we're going to continue working to do.
Just from a broader picture in terms of the nation and our economy, I think we're starting to see now the economic devastation. And in addition to the environmental devastation that we're seeing, the loss of human life, which was absolutely tragic, but now we're starting to see the economic fallout in the Gulf. It's not just those who cannot get out and fish. It's not just those who aren't able to rent their beachfront properties. It is much, much bigger. And my concern is that we will not only have environmental devastation, we will have economic devastation in terms of job losses that precipitate even further a weakening of our economic recovery. And that's going to impact us here in the state of Alaska. The governor has aptly mentioned what our situation is with closure offshore. But we also know that we're very dramatically impacted by the strength of the economy in the lower 48. And I think this is going to affect us from that broader perspective as well.
folks, we're going to have to go.